So you heard the commercial about the Alzheimer's Association. Again, that walk is at alz.org/walk. We're not all going to gather at Soldier Field or along the lakefront this year, but we invite you to still support the cause. Do you know somebody with dementia, with Alzheimer's? Are you concerned about that for yourself someday? Let's all be as proactive and as helpful as we can and get some exercise in. alz.org/walk. alz.org/walk. In our studio is Dr. Darren Gittleman from Advocate Aurora Health. He is the Senior Medical Director of the Advocate Memory Center there. Doctor, thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You guys are doing a, you're recruiting actually, I don't know if patients is the right word, but you want people to participate in a study, right?
Participants, yes we are.
Tell me more about that.
So it's the U.S. Pointer Study, and this is the largest study of its kind in the United States. And the object is to show that lifestyle factors, things that we really can all change, may make a difference in our risk for dementia and Alzheimer's disease later in life.
I thought it was mostly genetic. You either are or aren't going to get it.
No, that's not it at all. Certainly not for the late onset type of Alzheimer's disease. There are factors throughout our life, a lack of exercise, poor diet, poor sleep, lack of education, smoking, and so on, that really may influence our risk of having dementia.
You're describing the later onset.
Exactly.
Which I'm going to read you to say means not as severe, not the classic case that I...
No, that is the classic case.
Really?
Well, the classic, I guess, described in 1909 was the early onset type where patients may have a genetic factor.
Well, are all of us likely to suffer some form of dementia if we get old enough?
I certainly hope not.
Really? I mean, it does not have to be that way.
It does not have to be that way. It's not a natural part of aging. Just like heart disease or cancer would not be natural, but you do have a risk for that as you get older.
Do you know neurologically what it is that Alzheimer's is? Is it some clog between the cells or synapses or something?
Well, there are certain deposits of proteins, amyloid, tau, what we call the plaques and tangles, that are thought to cause Alzheimer's disease.
Are you suggesting that if we behave differently in our life, that those factors will be mitigated somehow?
We may be more resilient against those factors.
So would you prioritize for me the things I should do differently? Exercise, eat, smoke, whatever, sleep?
Well, certainly not smoke.
Would that be the number one?
No, I think the number... Well, I don't know that there's a number one, but I think a variety of factors may combine to help us later in life. So exercise, throughout our lives, but aerobic exercise several times a week. That can be walking. Doesn't have to be training for the marathon. Can be biking. Can be swimming or any of those types of things. Eating healthy is important. Nowadays, we focus on diets that are similar to a Mediterranean diet. There is the MIND diet that has been studied at Rush and will be used in the U.S. Pointer Study that looks at brain-healthy foods.
Like what?
Things like berries instead of just fruits in general, for example.
Give me another fruit or another food that I should eat for brain health.
A lot of green vegetables.
Really?
Yes.
So that is the Mediterranean diet in a way.
olive oil instead of just standard oil.
But then we put ranch dressing on it. Would that matter, or as long as I'm getting the greens and the vegetables?
You know, there's no perfect diet, and just do the best you can. So I always tell patients, eat your greens, your chicken, your fish, not too much red meat, and not too many donuts.
Does it really? Are you serious about the donuts?
Really?
Why do you say that?
Because too much sugar, not healthy.
And I guess we knew all of that anyway, relative to cardiac health, say, but we didn't think about our brain health when we thought about that.
You know, what's good for the heart is good for the brain.
Is that generally a truism in your business?
Generally, yes.
So I'm going to sort of eat healthier, but what about if I do crossword puzzles or Sudoku puzzles? Is that sort of flexing that muscle, and is that helpful in any way?
You know, just like when you exercise your body, you do different exercises to build up different parts of the body, aerobic exercise, strength exercise, flexibility. You have to do different things for your mind as well. So don't just do one type of puzzle. But, now is not a good time to say this, but get out in the world. Hopefully, as COVID remits, we'll be able to get out more. Social interaction is important. Now we have to do this by Zoom, but interacting with people is important. Reading, gardening even seems to make a difference. Other productive activities, knitting and so on, writing letters.
I don't think of gardening as a sort of mental activity so much as an emotional one. I feel good when I'm doing that. Is there some value in that, paying attention to your emotional health?
I think there is. Yes, absolutely.
You said I think there is. I think there is too, but I don't know. Do you know?
What? That's what we're studying.
I mean, some of this sounds so commonsensical, but I suppose the point is let's prove it. Let's find out to what degrees.
The point is to prove it, and let's see, you know, what exactly helps and to what degrees, because without that, we just don't know what to focus on.
Hmm. So let's help you this way. Mary DeMars is on a phone line. And by the way, my phone number is 312-981-7200. You may have a question, like I've been peppering the doctor with questions here. What is yours? And I suspect one of the ones we'll get, and I'll ask you to answer in a minute, even if we don't, is if my mom or dad had it, am I likely to get it? If my grandma or grandpa had it, am I likely to get it? Does it skip generations? Is there a chromosomal test I can take? 312-981-7200. What's your question along these lines for the doctor? By the way, Mary DeMars is on a phone line, and for the Alzheimer's Association, she is organizing the walk to raise funds to help him do stuff like this. Hi, Mary. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, although, to be honest with you, Mary, the more I talk to him, the more anxious I get. You know, you think, oh, gee, am I eating right? Now he's making a face. That's not a reflection on you, sir. But I think a lot of us are kind of anxious about this as we progress through our 40s and 50s, you know?
Yes.
And so tell us about the walk. Just sort of give us the the elevator speech. How is this going to work, and what do you do with the money?
Yeah, so the Walk to End Alzheimer's is the Alzheimer's Association's world largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research programs.
Yeah.
So it's happening all over the country in 600 communities, and one of them is happening right here in Chicago on October 10th.
Ours is one of the biggest ones annually in the Chicago, isn't it?
Yes. Last year we were the seventh largest walk in the country, and right now we're hoping to stay in the top 10 this year.
And I was kind of teasing you when you weren't here earlier, just saying, you know, when I said, well, I presume that the goal has been greatly diminished because of COVID, and you guys were like, no, we still have a number we want to reach, and it's more than last year. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it is. We've increased our goal. We're hoping to raise $1.4 million this year because, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, it doesn't stop, and so neither can we.
And I just think it's so easy for any good cause like this, but let's talk about yours right now. It's so easy to just not think about that, to not have the physical gathering of people, and I've got enough on my mind. Let's not do that to these people and to this cause, because it could be any and all of us, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, the dollars that we raise help us continue to provide care, support to families during these very difficult times, and also advancing, you know, the critical research towards methods of treatment and prevention.
So do you give money then? What do you do with the money that you raise? Do you put it in the general fund, and then that funds research like the doctor here is doing?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It goes towards research, but also we have our 24/7 helpline, which is available for anybody, a caregiver, somebody who is affected by the disease. They can call for any question, whether they're having, you know, a bad day. And there's somebody there 24/7 to help them through it.
I don't have that number in front of me. Do you?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah,
and you're going to ask me that. It's 1-800-272-3900.
1-800-272-3900. I'll repeat that in a minute. And one last thing before I let you go. I got so many questions for the doctor here. I want to take questions for him. But then you're asking us to walk with our friends in our neighborhood on a treadmill at home, but as if I were at the lakefront with everybody, get pledges and generate as much money as I can.
Yes, exactly.
And the date of this year's walk, if you will?
Yeah, it is October 10th this year.
All right.
It's a Saturday. And then once you are finished walking with your friends, family and friends, we are welcoming everybody to drive to Soldier Field because we are still having that important Promise Garden.
Yeah.
So we're having a drive-by view-only Promise Garden at Soldier Field from 9 a.m. until noon the morning of October 10th.
Which I like to think of as the icing on the cake. This really is you participating physically if you want to, but I'm personally going to say the main thing is to make that effort to walk and to raise money so that we can continue to fund the research like Dr. Gittleman is doing and help people. That number is 1-800-272-3900. The website to be part of the walk is alz.org/walk. Okay, more about that later on. Mary, good luck to you. We'll be in touch, and I will be walking on the WGN radio team.
I'm walking too.
Wonderful.
Dr. Eustace, thank you. Thank you. Stay right there, Doc. We'll take a break. Lots of questions for you from our listeners. The number is 312-981-7200. In our studio, Darren Gittleman is a doctor from the Advocate Aurora Health Institute. He is the senior medical director of the Advocate Memory Center. We're talking about Alzheimer's. The walk is coming up on the 10th. Details at alz.org/walk. Doctor, lots of questions from our listeners. You take a few calls for us here?
Happy to do that.
Carol wanted to say something. Hey, Carol, you're on WGN. What's your question? Hi.
Thank you. I wanted to ask Dr. Gittleman what he thinks about people taking nature walks and then followed by journal writing once they get home as a way to record what they saw, heard, smelled, and touched along the way.
I think that's a wonderful idea. It incorporates a lot of senses, and the writing aspect of it is excellent.
Is that, though, also a means for me to stay in touch with my life because I have dementia and I'm not remembering things, or is it just the exercise is good for the brain?
Exercise is good for the brain. The remembering part is good for the brain. If your person can't journal anymore, they can still be with someone and talk about it. So I think all of that's good.
Do you recommend that people, if I'm a caregiver or a loved one, should I talk to the person? How do you relate to their loss of experience and memory? Do you remind them of things? No, that was that. Hey, you've got Alzheimer's. Or do you just try and live life normally and not talk about the elephant in the room?
Well, if people ask a question, certainly answer that question. But people with Alzheimer's are people, and they want to live their life day to day and enjoy life day to day. And I think that's what to focus on.
But if they are struggling to remember things or to function, you don't want to make it any worse by talking to them about the condition. Or maybe you do. I don't know.
No, I think if people have questions, or you find ways to help them answer the questions if they can, so have a central place in the house where to write things down, have a calendar, have reminders set up and things like that in order to help them through their daily lives.
What about this question? Larry, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Larry. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. I just wondered if the doctor has, in his experience, is there what age have you found that it can start? How early? And is it more prominent as a later in life age at time?
Yeah. So, yes, people with genetic forms of Alzheimer's disease, what we call the dominant form, can start very early, sometimes in their 40s or even 30s. But I've diagnosed people with the later onset type in their 50s, 60s, and beyond. It does get more common with age.
Is there a point, though, after which if you didn't have it, you were not going to get it, right? Like if you're 60 and you haven't shown early signs of dementia or Alzheimer's, then you're not going to get that kind of dementia or Alzheimer's.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, we can see Alzheimer's disease, people well into their 90s and beyond.
And the distinction I guess I'm asking you to draw, though, is between...
Oh, the early onset type,
yeah.
And that. In someone, sometimes it's later. There are genetic factors that we don't yet understand that can provide some resiliency even against this dominant form of the disease.
If I say later in life, though, and I'm starting to show signs of dementia, can I sort of nip it in the bud? Are there things I can do to at least stall its progression?
We'd like to think that some of these lifestyle factors may make a difference, but there are no medications yet that will stop the progression of the disease.
That's the purpose of this study. You're looking for 400 people, right?
We, along with Rush, are looking for 400 people between us to enroll in the study, and across the U.S., 2,000 people will be enrolled.
How do I sign up for that study?
So to sign up for this study, call... our clinic at 847-720-6467 in order to sign up for the U.S. Pointer Study. In order to get evaluated for Alzheimer's disease or get a second opinion, 847-720-6464.
Is there something like a lot of us go, now I can't remember what I walked into this room for, or I just called my son the name of the dog.
Maybe the dog was named after you.
And he was not. Not even close. But I think a lot of us experience that, but then we wonder, here it comes. I've got that. This is the first sign.
You know, I think we all have lapses day to day. I'm sure I've had some during this interview.
Not to my knowledge, but can you just comfort people or advise people on what to notice as they get older about that sort of thing?
You know, it's really when there's a change that begins to interfere with daily life. Memory loss disrupts daily life, problems with planning, problems with making appointments, problems with navigation, misplacing things, problems with judgment, and so on. All of us have these little things, but it's really the ones that prove to be disruptive, persistent, and progressive.
Okay, so I'll run into all of those roadblocks, but I'm able to figure it out.
You're able to work around it.
I can manage it. Let's pick up more phone lines, 312-981-7200. Judy, you want to participate in the study, do you?
Yes, I would, John, and thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I would really be interested in participating in the study and want to know what's included and how it works. I was diagnosed 2 months ago with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Thank you for your question, Judy. So the U.S. Pointer Study are actually for people who don't yet have Alzheimer's, but there are other studies that we're doing at the center for people who are newly diagnosed, and in fact, that seems to be the best time to start to intervene.
So should she call that same number then?
Call that same number, 847.
Were you able to write that down, Judy, that phone number, 847-720-6467?
Yes.
Judy, what was your thought when you heard your diagnosis?
Well, I was kind of suspicious about the dementia because my coordination was off, my balance was off, and they have since told me that's because of the changes in my brain because of the Alzheimer's, and that's how it was diagnosed with an MRI that they were able to show me where the changes were. But you know what? I didn't have any other symptoms, at least not so far.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't expect that that would be a symptom. Is that sometimes a red flag?
You know, that would be unusual, but, you know, if Judy's been properly evaluated, then that's what they must have found.
So here's the number, 847-720-6467. Good luck to you, Judy, and give them a call, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm glad that you were able to join us. Let's go to Will on line 5. Will, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Will. How can we help you?
Hi, John. I want to know if being trilingual or bilingual has any effect on mitigating Alzheimer's.
Just because the brain's working harder, navigating all of that stuff, is that helpful?
You know, I think any education is helpful, and in fact, one of the recommendations is later in life learning a new language may be one of those things that we can do to exercise our brains.
What are you going to have the people do in the study?
We're going to have people exercise in the study. We're going to have them try to follow this mind diet as closely as possible. We're going to do some cognitive types of exercises and also social activities.
Are you then going to have a control group that doesn't do those and then see who gets Alzheimer's and compare one to the other?
So the two groups in the study are people who design their own program, who are self-guided, and then people who are participating in a specified program.
And I guess this would take some time, though, to see what the results are.
The study is going to take 2 years.
Do you pay people for this?
People are compensated for their time.
And they are under the care of some of these terrific physicians who are looking at this sort of thing.
Yes, and in fact, as part of the study, they get some counseling about diet and cardiovascular risk factors.
Okay, so that phone number one more time is 847-720-6467, 847-720-6467. And to participate in the walk, it's alz.org/walk, alz.org/walk. You need 400 people, right?
We do.
Okay. Anything else we can do for you today? You've done a lot for us. I think we'll ask you back. Our phone lines are very busy, but we're out of time today.
Sorry we're out of time. I'd love to answer the questions.
Yeah, well, we will again soon. Thanks, Dr. Gittleman is in our studio. It's